Cowboys, Chargers, Colts, and Eagles all going home. We'll tell you why coming up right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, my God.
Pageantry in the background. All right. Gather around, everybody, all you cowpokes.
Doing this. Like, I'm not, like, I didn't fall asleep and wake up in the AfterBuzz TV studio. We doing this.
We got to, because you got to be defiant. You got to be steadfast in your thought process, man, and the love you have. Listen, welcome, everybody, man. This NFL playoffs, man, whole lot of stuff happened. Man, I don't care what happened on Sunday. I'm leaving. I'm standing firm. I'm standing strong with the Cowboy Nation. But to my left is this adorable little cherub, David Bloom.
You know how it be, you know how it do? What's up?
First of all,
I'm flustered. I don't even know what to say. I got this sitting next to me. In full cowboy getup.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You gotta, you know, just, you know.
For a team that lost, mind you.
Listen, you gotta stand firm.
All right. Before, see, I told you a couple weeks ago you turned into a Cowboys fan. You said, no. I'm just supporting, you know.
Before.
Look at you.
It happened, man.
You coming with a Dak jersey next week? You never, Lord
it's
almighty.
Possible. So listen, okay, so I don't know. First of all, let's get started. Before we get into the games, I just want to get your overall thoughts on this weekend's games and it's kind of like your biggest takeaways and just what your thought process is right now.
You know, it was interesting to see all the home teams win.
Yeah.
Straight up, it was the higher seeds. Notice they all had the bye weeks. Right. It really shows you how the bye week comes into play.
Yep.
Chiefs took care of the Colts easy. Mm-hmm. Patriots just destroyed the Chargers. And when it came to games like, you know, the Rams, and it was really the night games, the Rams in L.A. and the Saints in the Superdome, it was just that home crowd. Now, the Coliseum, you know, it's big. It's wide. You're not really close to the action there. I mean, the torch is very far from the actual field. And the Superdome, it's massive, and you're right there, and it just echoes.
Unbelievable stadium.
It's an unbelievable place to play, and both those teams took it out. It's really interesting to see how the bye week actually affected them.
I agree. And it's one of those things where, like, we talk about that. Where everyone says that the bye week give you rust. Well, maybe in the beginning, they got a couple teams got hit in the mouth, but for the most part, the bye, the rest, the extra preparation
is what prep.
It's prep, and that actually does help in having that time off and resting your players and resting your talent and rest because it's a long, grueling, exhausting season. And when you do that, and then you see what happens, you see the results.
Exactly. People don't forget how to play football after a week. You give them a week to rest. What they do is they let their bodies rejuvenate from a long season, which is beyond important. It prevents injuries, you know, it allows you to play better, and then you practice. You have more time to prep. While this team is playing a full-on game trying to win and stay alive another day, you're practicing to play whatever team just had that grueling battle.
I agree.
And for some teams, you know, it was the Eagles who survived on a missed field goal, or, you know, it was the Cowboys winning by 2 points. Mm. And to face a team like that is tough because, yeah, you'll say they have the momentum, but they're also exhausted compared to you. It's like, okay, imagine you got 3 hours of sleep last night.
Right.
And you got a boxing match against a guy who got 8.
Mm-hmm.
You can take him pound for pound, but eventually you're going to tire out, and then he's just going to knock you out.
Yeah, unless blessed by some miracle, by some crazy random happenstance, that's usually how it goes. Better prepared usually wins no matter what anybody says, even over the more athletic. Sometimes if you're better prepared, better game plan, you get the victory.
Exactly.
But with that being said, let me just get this out the way, man. Let me just start from the top, man. Let me just start with the Cowboys versus the Rams. Let me get this out the way. And before I let you just unload and unleash your fury upon the world, I brought a special little, Liz, you call it a gimmick. You call it what you want to call it. But I bought a little special treat, David, because this is what you always be doing. You always be hating on Dak Prescott. This is an old super hater, old David Bloom the hater. So I bought you. I've had this curated from like a whole bunch of haters across the world. Like, just haters sprinkled out through each continent of the planet, and I've curated it and bottled, happened to bottle up some Haterade for David Blum.
Okay.
So before you unleash on Dak Prescott and the Cowboy Nation, I want you to pour you a little cup of this haterade, take a drink from it, and then do your thing, man. Then you can go. I won't say a word. Yeah, pour a little cup of that nice little, yeah. There you go. Get some of that haterade up in you, yeah. See, that's the what's a whole, he gets a whole bunch.
I'm going to need the whole cup for this one.
Go ahead and take a sip, Dave. And by all means, you can unleash upon the world of AfterBuzz.
Tasting. Okay, there's the 30.
Oh, I swear.
That one was the 22.
I'm not gonna just go ahead, man. I'm not gonna let you.
Well, you know, that tastes a lot like, you know, two running backs going for 100 plus.
Go ahead, explain.
And the Cowboys are eliminated from the playoffs.
Tell us why, David Bloom.
Welcome to my hatred. Well, they had a, you know, a pretty nice showing against the Seahawks last week. Mm-hmm. The score was not what happened. You know, the Seahawks were without a kicker.
True.
It was a horrible onside kick attempt. And they actually, the Cowboys handled that game better than people think they did. You know, Seattle is not the team they used to be. The Legion of Boom is beyond done. And, you know, Russ, he's still an amazing quarterback and a great mind. But with the players he has now, he's declining.
Yeah.
And you can see that. This week, sure, they beat the Saints. Congratulations in the regular season.
Right.
But this team never got the chance really to run into the great mind of Sean McVay.
It's true, man.
Never. He is an extraordinary coach, and he sees the game better than a lot. Why do you think Jared Goff is so good? Why do you think Todd Gurley took off in his third year? You know he had that sophomore slump. He came back. He was setting records. Why do you think CJ Anderson has such a place on that team where he didn't in Oakland and they had to get rid of him in Denver?
It's true.
Wherever he was, it wasn't working until he comes to this team and he takes over for the injured Gurley. And now they say, okay, if we can get this win with CJ and Gurley, you know, that, you know, two running back affair, then we can have a healthier Gurley in the NFC Championship game against maybe a juggernaut like the Saints, which we'll get into.
Yes.
It was the Rams poking holes in the Cowboys. That's all it was, really. It was them finding a way to get the run game to work, and if they didn't go to Todd Gurley, they'd go to CJ Anderson, and they have a lot in common. They're two very big backs, you know, who are strong enough, yet have enough speed. Hmm. Gurley a little bit more, as you saw, he took that touchdown off the edge.
Yep.
They have the ability to push through you and also run past you, and that's what Anderson did so very well. Both of them, 100-plus yards in a Cowboys defense that's supposed to stop the run.
And they were good at stopping the run.
They were great at stopping the run, but what happened?
Yeah, Sean McVay saw something, man. Like I said, when you get to the playoffs, they have people that evaluate all the games, all the playoff games that you happen to, if you happen to win one in 16 games of regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they played you, if they haven't played you, they have somebody bring a collection of tapes, and they study. Sean McVay, the young phenom, he saw something. The coaching staff saw something, and they believe they could run this ball down Dallas' throat. And they were right. Listen, 23 carries, 123, two touchdowns. It's a lot, and that's just for CJ Anderson. People forget he's not chopped liver now.
See, no, that's what people see.
It's easy to forget about a productive back when he's out of sight, out of mind. And maybe things didn't go as well, and you get unceremoniously left off a team, and so all of a sudden you just get written off, and people forget, like, he might still be pretty good.
He's still pretty good.
And listen, now Dak, 20 for 32, 266 and a touchdown and one rushing touchdown. He had the best game he had in the playoffs. He just did. But when they keep thinking, like, it's a 20 carries, 47 yards for Zeke, you can't just keep banging your head against a brick wall and then hoping you'll get through it.
Mm-hmm. Insanity.
What the media does and what reporters do and what analytics does, they always keep pushing that narrative. If you don't stop Zeke, if Zeke gets off, you guys lose. But that's not always the case, man. Sometimes the strategy changes and the game plan has to change.
Exactly.
Don't sit here and try to tell me Dak can't win you a game. I don't know if he can win you a game.
He hasn't had the chance because of that defense. And every time Dak can go, you know, with an offense, and there are these times where Dak Prescott will have these games where what he does on offense, I've said it before, it will work, and he'll be able to score touchdowns, and he can rush pretty well, and he can go, you know, just pound for pound with the offense. But then it turns on the defensive side, and people were underestimating this Rams defense of Sue Donald Peterson.
Yeah, because they were down. They had a couple down weeks, but they showed up, didn't they?
They showed up,
and they still have Aaron Donald, the best defensive lineman in the last 20 years.
Oh my, of course,
He's unbelievable. He's a phenom. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer already. I don't care what anybody says. It's already done.
His ability to get past the blocker and rush and put pressure on the
or
quarterback,
double team or the whatever.
It's one of the best. He's so strong, and he's just the best thing about about, you know, defensive linemen is when they play smart.
Yes.
It's not necessarily about powering through the guy. It's your hand motion. It's getting not through him, but around him in a way that pushes him almost to the side, even. You don't got to go straight through him.
Yeah.
Yet if you move him, if you find the gap and you shoot it, which is something, you know, a lot of during safety blitzes, they always look to shoot the gap and go to the quarterback. If you can do that without a design play, like if you have a zero blitz and you have, you know, same amount of rusher, same amount of blockers, same amount of rushers, and then they get through the line and they get to the quarterback without a design play too, you can't lose.
I agree. I agree. And it's one of those things where the game plan changed. Sean McVay knew this because he listened to the narrative. And to me, you should have to anticipate that, that Sean McVay was going to stop the run. So you need to put the ball in Dak Prescott's hand. I don't care what you, I don't care what anybody says. If you say he's your franchise guy, you say you're going to pay this kid, you need to make him prove it and go. And sometimes you have to win a football game. Now, let me tell you something. Amari Cooper, Troy Aikman even said it. I've seen it. Everyone acts like they haven't seen it. Amari Cooper is yet to be defended one-on-one. Period.
Really?
Troy Aikman says it every time. He goes, I've yet to see someone guard him one-on-one because he's too good at running routes and he's too great out of his breaks.
He's just, his route running and his IQ of where to be to get the ball, he can come back to the ball, he can go away from the ball.
You have to. To me, Dak should have, with 32 attempts, Dak should have had 42 attempts.
Oh my God.
To let this guy pass. Zeke was, he was intimidated. He took that big hit early. And it was never the same.
It was never the same because the Rams have that front line that'll get you.
They had a stonewalled. And this one was saying, listen, the better team won. It still was only 30-22.
Which was a close, respectable game.
And the game was on the line when they ran that ridiculously dumb running play up the middle on 4th-and-1. When they couldn't run at all the whole game. And they still tried to run it up the gut with terrible personnel against Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. On 4th-and-1 when they were down 8. Needing to make this drive instead of letting Dak get out on the move, Dak have a get on the personnel option, read option. I don't know, shotgun. I don't care, slant pattern. They ran the ball with Ezekiel Elliott when he had 46 yards or 47 yards, and he lost another yard, and that was the ball game essentially. But the Rams took care of business. The Rams have their work cut out for them next week, but I think the Saints do as well. Literally, it's a perfect rematch.
It's a
perfect game for the NFC Championship.
Amazing rematch, and to take a look something here in the Cowboys-Rams game. Now, notice how before I said when you were gloating about the Cowboys winning, it was Zeke, right? They put the ball in Zeke's hands. Now, when Zeke has a performance like this, look what happens.
I'm not the biggest Zeke fan, to be honest with you, man.
Neither am I.
Just not.
I think he's a good running back. I think he's one of the best in the league. But he carries his team, and when he can't pull his weight, that team will not win because they do not have the defense, nor, believe it or not, the quarterback to take them the distance without a run game.
And like I said, I don't know that. You're right from just the base on what happened, but I just don't know that when that's all they act like they are. When you create an identity and are unwilling to change your identity and are willing to modify your identity for the circumstances you're in, then I guess that's how it happens, but I would at least want you to come here today and be like, Evan, they put the ball in Dak's hand and he couldn't get it done. That's what I wish you were saying right now.
That's not what I'm saying, though.
They didn't let him do it, though. Let Kim fail, honestly.
Yeah.
Didn't throw a pick. And like I said, two touchdowns, one rushing, one throwing, pretty good yards. Like one of his better playoff games, and it's going to go unnoticed.
Exactly.
Because I just get tired. Like, stop Zeke. Guys, the Rams hear that too.
Oh, they hear that. Yeah, and they know how to stop Zeke now because, you know, they practice for it. They say, okay, we got essentially Todd Gurley. They got another Todd Gurley running right at our wall. We better be able to stop him.
Period.
And notice how when I come up on this show and I start drinking all this haterade from my man Dak, notice how I always stall out. Like, I don't really have enough to say, and that's because they never give him the chance to fail.
They really don't.
You're exactly right. He never has the chance to, you know, throw too many picks in a game or throw maybe like 40-something pass attempts and, you know, hurt his team. Because they don't trust him.
They don't, bro.
They do not trust him, and that's what I have a problem with,
too. They do not.
They don't trust him for a reason, though.
So this narrative, think about it. So this narrative has been built of Dak Prescott being this guy that's just marginal and he has inaccuracy problems. Like I said before, I said to you last week, not every quarterback is accurate. Now,
no.
Listen, there's elite accuracy, then there's okay accuracy. Because, listen, the best quarterback in the league right now is Patrick Mahomes by statistical margin. He's inaccurate at times.
He can be because he's young, and as you get older, your power may go, slow, but your accuracy develops.
And nobody says that about Mahomes, because you know why? Because Dakota plays for America's team, and no matter what anybody says, that's why. If this dude is playing for Baltimore, if he was playing for Cleveland, you'd be like, Cleveland has a pretty good quarterback there.
Oh, I would be like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, imagine if Baker was on the Cowboys.
Exactly.
I would be out here clowning on him because, you know, he's not putting up, like, super numbers.
Correct.
Yeah, he's a rookie, but on the Browns, I'm saying, damn.
Yeah.
Like, go you. You're doing pretty well. You're doing really well. Well, if you take the Browns to, like, 5 wins, you're doing pretty well. You're doing something. And Nick Chubb, too. And look, if Nick Chubb was on the Cowboys and he was putting up Zeke numbers, I'd still be like, you sure?
Yeah, yes.
This guy, really?
That's what I'm saying. So it goes back and forth. Dakota still has a lot to work on.
The media thing.
And it really is, though. They drive a lot, and even though people they don't, but they do. And the narrative is what it is. Listen, the Rams move on. That's
the story, though.
That's facts. The Rams move on. The Rams are 1 game away from the Super Bowl. So who knows? They could be on a collision course to a rematch. Who knows? You know, between the greatest show on turf versus the Patriots. You never know.
A rematch.
You never know. But we're gonna move on. Speaking of that, I'm gonna get to the Patriots versus the Chargers. One of my Super Bowl picks, my AFC representative of the Super Bowl, and they lost. And I don't come out here and make a bunch of hoopla and nonsense about why a team. I will tell you why I think a team loses, but just because they lost doesn't mean I'm gonna get on my feelings. I'm a casual sports fan. I'm one of them. I'm the worst type of sports fan. I don't have any team. I like storylines. I like players, and I like things. And I like great games. That's what I like. So when I picked the Chargers, like, man, I seen a couple things in the earlier part of the season. They got all the tools to win a title.
They could.
So.
They ran into.
Now we'll see.
Continue.
They get to Foxborough. They come up in Foxborough. Listen, home field advantage in Foxborough matters. Home field advantage in weather matters. Home field advantage matters when you're a warm weather team. But this is what bothers me, man.
Tell me.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I swear. Boy. David Bloom.
Oh, you're choked up.
Listen. You cannot play zone defense on Tom Brady.
They're insane.
Are you crazy?
If you think that running a zone will work against Tom TB12 Brady.
It literally is laughable
how open Edelman and Gronk and Hogan, they all were. Even like Dorsett, they were all wide open. And, you know, the Chargers, what they feared a lot, they feared Cordarrelle Patterson on the kick return, yet, you know, they should have been fearing, you know, the two-headed monster of Michelle and White. They should have been fearing the fact that Julian Edelman is still very much a playoff elite wide. Okay, not elite, but he's a good wide receiver enough. Brady will make a guy elite. The way he surveys the field, and if you even try to run a zone, you got to run a man. You got to put pressure on those wide receivers to not allow him to throw. You saw what the Eagles did a lot last year.
Man coverage.
They did not allow Brady to throw, and now when you get him, once he gets in a rhythm, he hits this one and that one and this one, and then he'll start to complete the hard ones. And if you want to run man every now and then, Brady's going to beat it. He has the receivers with the speed to beat it,
exactly.
And then he can get to that big body Gronk, and it's over from there.
So exactly, and that's the game. So what you do is you start out in man defense. I don't care. Listen, ever since I can remember, my first memory when I started playing sports, I have always hated zone. I hate zone in soccer.
I hate zone.
I hate zone in soccer. I hate zone in basketball. I hate zone in football. I hate all zone.
Zone is the worst. When I used to play 6th grade basketball, and yeah, I was that young, my coach would say, do not leave your zone. We're playing a 2-3, you two are up here, they're down there, you stay in the key, because there was no 3 in the key, because, you know, we were like 12.
Yeah.
But like, I couldn't leave my zone. I was guarding the right side of the court, and if they moved, we got to rotate. I can't just say, okay, you guard number 12, you guard number 13, you got 56.
You have to trust your men. If he's getting beat, then you help him out. So when it comes to football, they decided to not have barely any linebackers the whole game.
Now
they had DBs the whole game, right? So Josh McDaniels, who's a very savvy coach, he said, I'm gonna just ram this ball down your throat and have these skinny guys try to tackle. And they did not want to tackle. Mm-hmm. That's why the running game opened up. And then Tom Brady had 44 completions, right?
Yeah.
Check this out, David Bloom.
Man, so impressive.
Out of the 37 completions,
yeah,
37 of them did not go more than 10 yards. 37 completions went under 10 yards.
Under 10.
This is why I don't like Tom Brady that much.
Huh.
37 out of the 44 completions went under 10 yards. Meaning,
you know,
if you took the flat away from Tom Brady, I don't even know what he'd do. He might wet the bed. I don't even know what he would do.
That's called using the flat, and you know
yes.
who benefited from that a lot.
James White.
James White, exactly. One of the best flat receivers in the NFL, best rushing receivers in the NFL. That's really interesting to think about, because if they were able to take that flat away, if they saw, you know, that's where he was going, they could have stopped him. But that's the Patriots style of offense.
It's true, but David, you know that. They have to know that. You don't get paid for this.
Oh, I know that. I know the Patriots love to use the flat. Why do you think James White is the second receiver leading in, you know, catching yards?
Yes. Yes.
Like, think about it. They love to go to the flat. They love to run those wide receiver screens coming into the ball.
Yeah, you have to go for broke. You have to jam these receivers. You have to knock them off their routes. Mm-hmm. You have to reroute them at least.
Exactly.
At least reroute them. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying every team that has ever beaten Tom Brady, I know what defense they have played.
Of course. Make them run, you know, a large slant, a post, you know.
Give me something.
Straight, something.
Oh my God, you're running
a vertical, anything. Like, so, please, if you keep running it to the flat, then Brady he's going to be able to get those guys. If you keep going out to the flat, Brady will hit you, and if you can't guard that, then Brady's going to beat you.
Absolutely.
That's how the Patriots work. They're a very systematic offense. Absolutely. They'll go here, they'll go there, but it's short, quick plays until they get to the end zone, and you know they can either pound it in.
Absolutely.
Or Brady can get it in. I never thought when the Patriots had a 3rd and 6 or longer that they were not going to convert.
Absolutely, and that's a problem.
I always thought they could convert because, you know, someone was always open.
You have to give Tom Brady 3rd and long. Like I said, watch the teams that have beaten him. Watch the teams that have had success against Tom Brady. Like, gosh, like, you guys have a really good defense. Listen, you have to go for broke. And don't be disrespectful. You need to get these linebackers out here.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You need, like, so, but, like, but listen, 41-28, the game seemed closer than it was. The game wasn't even close. 35-7 by the half. Game was over.
Game was over.
Game was over.
The Patriots did an amazing job controlling Bosa and Ingram, who everyone thought was, they were going to be real threats to, you know, Tom Brady.
Not that pocket, touch Tom Brady.
That pocket stays clear. He finds the hole in the pocket where to throw it. He makes the throw very accurately at 41 years old, mind you.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm telling you right now, Chiefs ain't making that mistake.
Mm-mm.
Whether they win or lose,
no.
Will not be going out like that.
See, the thing about the Chargers, too, is there's a very key concept, you know, in the world today. It's called change. It's very scary. I know a lot of people who are going through a lot of changes. Senior year, going to college is very tough.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing defense in the NFL,
yeah,
and you see a team drop maybe 14, 21, 3 touchdowns unanswered, you got to change your defense.
That's all I'm saying.
It's scary, but the system they tried to run, it did not work.
That's all I'm saying.
They would keep the zone. They wouldn't guard the flats. They would not change no matter how many points they put up.
Yeah, you can't walk into the game like, oh, this is what got us here. Well, listen, it's not working.
Did you ever get there by, you know, going through the Patriots?
No,
I don't think so.
I don't think you did. And by here is here's the Super Bowl, because that's where you're trying to get to. So you have to do what it takes to get to the Super Bowl. Like for example, what Bill Belichick do? Because Bill, like I said, another reason why I don't like Tom Brady that much, because Bill Belichick doesn't get enough credit for
not
how great
at all.
He really doesn't, man. Man, the first playoff run Tom Brady had, he didn't even throw a touchdown. We don't want to talk about that, though. We don't got to talk about that. Didn't even throw a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so Bill Belichick, what's Bill Belichick do? Did something the Chargers didn't see coming. Played Ravens-style defense. Because
You
know what Bill Belichick is? One of the greatest coaches ever. I'm still a Bill Walsh guy. But what Bill Belichick did, he seen last week's game, seen how much trouble, how much fix that he was having. He's like, I'm going to make my defense do that.
Yep.
They ain't never done it all year, but I'm going to have them play in this Ravens coverage. And Phillip Rivers was flustered.
He was frustrated. I could see it on his face. You know, there were a lot, which was really interesting, you know, to key into the game, a lot of delay of game penalties on the Chargers.
Unbelievable.
Which was not getting to the line too slow. It was the center was not getting the ball out fast
enough. And he was trying
enough.
To change the play around because of the coverage and try to get the right coverage.
Mm-hmm. Phil got flustered.
Flustered. Because
he was frustrated as hell.
Bill showed him that Raven style and it made him uncomfortable. That's called an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
He had a week to prepare. But so did you guys, though.
Yeah, you still had the week to prepare, except, you know, you went home.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how the fact that they left Baltimore, you know, in the East, in the cold, it's still January. Foxborough is going to be even colder.
Stay there. Get whatever tape you need. Get some hot cocoa.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. And chill.
Don't go back to the warm weather and then go back to the cold weather. Jeez, I mean, I'm going to Big Bear in a week. What, you want me to go to, like, you know, Phoenix right now and come back and go there and be like, oh, I'm fine. Exactly. I'm good. That's Thank God I went somewhere hotter to prepare for the cold.
Honestly, it's absolutely, it's, man, listen.
In what world?
So the Patriots move on. They will be going against the Chiefs. And speaking of the Chiefs, we got the Chiefs versus Colts. The Chiefs took care of business against my dark horse pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. And once again, not mad, not sad at all. Andy Reid's my guy. Andy Reid's my favorite coach of football. I want Andy Reid to have a Super Bowl. I want Andy Reid to win so I can go back to Pennsylvania and tell all y'all Philly fans, y'all should never let my man go in the first place.
No, they shouldn't have.
Don't tell me he's getting stale. Don't tell me they ain't listening to him. Don't tell me they're tuning them out. Y'all got rid of a coach because you panicked. Should never got rid of Andy Reid. Andy Reid should have been like Mike Tomlin or Marvin Lewis, just there forever.
Just there forever. Absolutely
like,
ever.
So when they win a Super Bowl, they get validated. And of course, they got the right coach now. But I'm saying right now, I've always been pulling for Andy Reid. The Chiefs take care of business. That whole narrative about Andy Reid not being able to win a big game or a big playoff game.
This was huge for the Chiefs. Absolutely. They haven't had.
Because the Colts were hot, bro.
They were hot. And last time the Chiefs played the Colts, it was a very tough loss for the Chiefs. You know, they blew a 28-point lead by halftime. Or not by halftime. They had it at halftime and they blew it. Coming into Arrowhead, you know, they haven't won a playoff game there since, I want to say what, like the 90s, late, maybe 96. And they come in, the fans, you know, they're red hot. The stadium's even red hot. I mean, you've seen their colors.
Rocking, bro.
It's one of the hardest places to play. It's freezing. And yeah, the Colts, you know, they're from Indianapolis, but they do play in Lucas Oil.
That, to me, is the biggest factor of that game. Now, listen, it wasn't just that the Chiefs were better. I'm telling you, if you watch that game, man, the Colts played like they play in a climate-controlled atmosphere.
They do. They were sure they play, you know, in the north, but they were not ready at all to play, you know.
Oh, Lucas Oil is amazing. It's different than than going out of the arena and having to bundle up. Playing in a warm arena, it was snowy.
It was freezing.
They were not ready, bro. They were not ready.
It gets cold there in Missouri.
Yeah, man.
Like, in Arrowhead, it's loud. The Chiefs are, mind you, really good with Patrick Mahomes. They play an excellent style of football. Thinking back, I haven't had a lot of chances to talk about it on this show.
It's true.
But they play a very fast-paced, you know, like high-pitched style of football. Patrick Mahomes is absolutely slinging the ball. Father was a pitcher in the MLB, so he has that cannon of an arm.
He does.
And he's young. He's still got to build up the IQ, build up the accuracy, but he plays it like one of the best. You know, you got Tyreek
Hill. Fearless, though. Fearless, too.
Right there with that touchdown. He uses his speed so well. That's the thing. You can be fast, but, like, is John Ross the best player in the entire NFL? Yeah. I don't think so. But Tyreek Hill is the number one receiver for the Chiefs because Patty Mahomes knows how to use his speed. Kelsey's always going to be there, and that's what I like to see is the Kelsey versus Gronk matchup.
Yeah.
Who has a better game? And the Patriots versus Chiefs matchup is going to be really interesting because last time, you know, the Chiefs have only done this with one other team where they, you know, matched 40 to 50 points with them, and that was the Rams, and they lost. And they lost on a field goal to the Patriots in Foxborough. They lost by 3 points, 40-something to 40-something. Now they're going to Arrowhead.
And I say it before and I'll say it again, man. Tom Brady, he will impress me when he gets to the playoffs via the road.
Exactly.
He never has gotten to the Super Bowl via the road.
It's going
to
be really interesting.
He mysteriously had a bye week. He had a bye because they won that weak division. So he has to play one away game. The fact they had a home game, is we'll get to that later. That's a different story, a different day. But they have to go to Arrowhead. Now, Tom Brady come out of there, I'll be like, I'll come on here on Monday and be like, hats off to him.
Sure, but so will I.
It's going to be real tough, man. And the Patriots, they're underdog, but y'all need to stop this. I ain't trying to hear that. Nobody was talking about the Chiefs. Everybody been writing off the Chiefs. Everybody saying it. So stop acting like the Patriots are underdogs. They trying to build this narrative like Tom Brady has a deck stacked against them.
Have you ever seen the Patriots play a game of football ever?
I'm not trying to hear it.
The team that came back 28-3, exactly. And you want to say they're underdogs?
I'm not trying to hear it. They got the best corner of football by all pro standards.
Stephon
Gilmore is a beast, man.
Geez, one of the best teams in NFL history in the last two decades. You want to tell them they're the underdog.
And that's the narrative they've already started on Monday. And I'm like, I'm not going to let y'all do it. I'm not going to let y'all do that. The Chiefs are the underdog. I don't care if they're an airhead. Patrick Mahomes, 5 years old. Don't try to tell me they're a favorite now because he's zinging and flinging because y'all been trying to write the Chiefs off all year long.
Exactly, but the question is, do the Patriots notice that and adjust based on what Patrick Mahomes does and they get him flustered and they exploit his game, or does he pass the ball and run it all over them?
Yeah, because I think Patty's going to have to be a little more accurate. I think the turning point in the first game they played was that when he missed that missed Tyreek Hill up the seam on the first quarter. Overthrew him, and that was like a touchdown right there. It's one of those things where I don't think the Patriots have the personnel to stop to contain him, and they're going to have to.
They're going to have to. And, you know, you
this
can set up.
This kid's feeling it, bro.
The spy, but he is on an absolute tear. And he's got that hot momentum. You know, they're coming off this big win against the Colts. And now going back to their home field, home stadium, with all those screaming fans. And Chiefs fans, they go crazy. Let me tell you that much.
Because they know how close they are, man.
They do.
This is one game to the big dance, whether you win or lose. The Super Bowl is everything. Listen, I don't know how it's going to go. We said it before. We say it again. The Patriots are not done until they're done. They're mm-hmm. not done until they're done.
Don't ever count out the Patriots until they're officially done.
Absolutely.
Really, because they can surprise. I counted out the Patriots, you know, when they were losing to the Falcons by too many points for me to count. And then they come all the way back, and James White scores the game-winning touchdown.
You and I know that's a Falcons problem.
That was a Falcons problem for sure.
Yeah, it's neither here nor there. But, the Patriots move on. They'll meet the Chiefs in the AFC Championship going to the Super Bowl on February 2nd, whoever wins that game. So, Final game we're going to talk about is those Eagles, Foles, Danny versus Drew Brees. And it's very interesting, man. It was like, so that's just like I thought the headline would be.
Yeah.
Because What these cats do on TV, man, I think a lot of them are phony, to be honest with you. A lot of them don't like to be wrong, so they hedge their bets. Listen. I'm not going to hate. I ain't going to hate. But when I start, man, you know, man, I should take this because I was hating on Tom Brady. Hold on, let me.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you got to have some. Here, I'll just.
I was hating on Tom. So shame on me. I got to get drunk.
Oh, I'm hating on Alshon, so don't worry.
Yeah, so listen, okay.
Yeah.
So what these guys do, because they don't like to be wrong, they don't like to come out in the day and be like, yo, listen, man, I was wrong. They don't get paid to be right or wrong. They get paid no matter what. So what I like to do when I'm pleasantly surprised by somebody to come in and say I was wrong, but my thing is, here goes the narrative. So they have the one narrative, like, Foles' magic continues. Oh, but they had in their little back pocket, the magic is over.
Yeah, they were ready.
And they were firing it all morning. That's all I was hearing. I'm like, wow. But the one point I will make, which is really awesome, is I'm telling you something right now. The front office of the Philadelphia Eagles, they're happier than they want to say they were.
Yeah, come on.
Because if Foles would have came back, won this game.
Done that thing again, man.
Beat the Rams, go to Super Bowl, and even if they lose, go to Super Bowl and lose. Philadelphia fans, the world would be like, yeah, so what are you going to do? And I'm going to tell you what they would have probably tried to do. They'd have tried to franchise tag him about $20, $25 million, which sounds crazy, right?
That sounds insane for Nick Foles. Come on.
And that's to me. So they're happy about Alshon dropping that pass. I almost think they were like, yo, Alshon, man, come down to the man. We'll kick a couple $1 million to you, man. Mm-hmm. You drop this pass, man.
But I mean, like, I got like really good. I got the best hands in the NFL.
But the receivers have like the microphone thing in their ear, the Lloyd Mack, because I'm saying,
they
Alshon,
must. They must.
I don't drop this.
So all right, in the huddle, just all right, all right.
We got $5 million if you drop this pass. Because Nick Foles,
it's like
conspiracy theory. No, but seriously. But honestly, okay. So Saints win. Saints move on. They did what they had to do to win the game. The Eagles had every opportunity to win the game.
They did. They blew it.
Everyone's like, oh, Sean Payton. He's fearless. Yeah, that's gonna catch him one day too.
That will.
It's gonna catch him. All that fourth down nonsense. It was a yard, guys. Stop acting like he got 10 yards.
No, that was a yard. I mean,
it was a yard, y'all.
Sean Payton historically, when they played the Colts in the Super Bowl in 2009, he came
that
out
onside kick. That onside ever kick. Since then,
the start of the half, and now
he's,
you know,
and now all of a sudden, you know, he's freaking Bill Gates or he's like Stephen Hawking.
All right, chill. But
golly,
he is a good coach though. You know, he came into the Saints locker room, and it was really interesting. He put Lombardi Trophy, you know, $250,000 cash, which is, you know, the incentives to win the Super Bowl.
Not bad.
And he looked at all his team, and he said, you want this? Win 3 effing games.
Not bad.
That's what he said.
Not bad.
And they went crazy, and looked like just won one.
And the thing about it is, they got their work cut out for him, though.
Oh, with the Rams?
Because the Rams want them.
The Rams want their revenge.
They want that rematch.
Badly.
And Sean McVay got something for Sean Payton, because he's just as fearless. Mm-hmm. Just as creative, just as innovative. It's really the perfect storm. But the Eagles, you know what it definitely comes down to, just from a fundamental football perspective, it came down to lack of running game. It was
really such a lack of running game.
That's just
Smallwood,
that was it.
Like,
once you
33
know,
yards,
yeah,
come on
like, and it's not even his fault. It's just the running. When I say running game, everyone tends to go to running back. No, I say running game because it's a whole lot of factors which can produce running and not produce running. And they didn't have it. Alvin Kamara 16 for 71.
See, that's the thing.
He did his And you get so you got different things factoring in, and they run just enough.
They run,
the Saints run just enough.
The Saints have that balanced attack too between two great running backs.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I like about the Saints, just to take a quick little tangent here, is just how balanced their attack
they
is.
They are, bro.
It really, and they use it well. You know, Michael Thomas going for 171.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Continue, though.
You know, and 71 for Kamara and 50, what, 53 for Ingram.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. And, you know, they got guys like Ginn and, you know, Kirk. It's very impressive. And they have the most balanced part of their game is the fact that they actually have a real quarterback named Drew Brees, who is definitely going to the Hall of Fame.
No, he's the real. No, Drew Brees is the real deal. And he put it like this. If you want to go down, you want to go down with Drew. Mm-hmm. And they were in Drew Brees' pocket in the beginning. They were flustered. But I think they were just a little bit rusty. So what I'm trying to say about that is different things with Nick Foles, 31 attempts. Smallwood, he only had 10 carries. So they flat out just abandoned the run.
They did, and that's a lot to do with the run block from the Eagles, and that's with the pressure from the Saints. 2 years ago, their defense was horrible. They've bettered their defense tremendously. Yeah. Last year, sadly, you know, the God, I don't even remember the name of it. Some miracle, something. I don't like to remember it because the Vikings got to win.
Oh, the Minnesota miracle.
Yeah. And now, I think of the word Minnesota. Jeez.
So people forget that we talked about it weeks ago. How Saints were in the Super Bowl.
They were.
Now they would have ran into the Eagles and lost. But I'm saying that team. This is the same team, guys.
This is the same team, and they beat them,
guys.
Tell me the Saints.
Guys.
Oh, they would have beat the Patriots. What I'm so
trying, and there's a lot of changes from the Eagles team. But what I'm trying to say is. This Saints team, I'm just literally ignoring everybody else. I'm trying to say this Saints team was geared to go to the Super Bowl last year.
Yes, they were.
Minnesota Miracle kind of caught them. You see how they're on a mission, see? Because that's the one story no one's talking about. They're on a mission. This is why they're winning games now. They just won't be denied.
They're so jazzed up and ready to actually win games. And when you play with that fire, with the Eagles, they weren't really playing with it. You saw that by that Alshon drop. You know, if you don't really catch these passes, you're not really playing with your head screwed out all the way.
Yeah, he has to catch that.
Every Saint was playing like they wanted to be in the Super Bowl, and they do.
And I really hate that, but he has to catch that ball. And when I was playing ball, like my coach would always say, well, don't blame your teammate for this one play. Evan, you missed four free throws. See, we lost by 4 points. So was it your fault too? So like, cause you can always draw to that one play.
Exactly.
So it is a reason why the drive stall in the game was over. But then, okay, let's say Alshon catches that. Foles still has to score a touchdown.
It's still on Foles, but.
But it's a huge way to, listen, man. It's tough for me to give him the blame. Put like this, if I had to give out blame, it's like 5%.
It's
10%
for the whole game, no. But for that one play,
yeah,
it wasn't Foles' fault at all.
No,
Alshon
dropped the ball, and to his credit, he admitted he dropped the ball.
No, he admitted. Yeah,
yeah. And so it's one of those things where we get to the point where the Saints were the better team. The Eagles were playing with house money.
The Eagles
came up short.
And who's mad about it?
Nobody.
Besides for, you know, like diehard Philadelphia fans, who's really like...
They backed into the playoffs.
How did the Eagles lose? Oh my... No, like, people are like, okay, sure, good run. Like, I was like, all right, that's fine. I didn't really expect
them. They were
one
game away from the NFC Championship, not too bad.
That's pretty good. So they got to win
like
in
I
the
said,
playoffs.
Saints versus Rams, Chiefs versus Patriots, those are the four teams that should be there. They are there. It's... The one reason why I like to get to why football to me is the most unpredictable major sport in the world.
Yes, it is.
Because even when you get, listen, the only thing that's more unpredictable than that is the World Cup. That's every 4 years.
And we got this thing every single year.
And it's always different. So the reason why the World Cup is so unique and special is because players get old, players get young, new players come in, new players. Like, guys, the most unbelievable sport, the most hard to predict sport in the world is football.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Super Bowl champions, gone. Gone, eliminated.
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 Almost didn't make the playoffs this year.
If the Patriots lose next week, they're eliminated. So the two representatives will be gone. There's nothing like it. The Rams are the NFC Championship game. They weren't there last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's so unbelievable. The Saints were supposed to be there, but they weren't, but now they are. It's like, there's nothing like the NFL football when it comes to being unpredictable. That's what makes the game so intriguing and makes it so special.
Exactly.
And it's unbelievable.
And the only repeat teams you will see, you know, is the Patriots because that AFC really isn't as strong.
It is doo-doo, man.
And the Patriots, come on, they play in a division with the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins.
Come talk to me when they get better. A couple of these teams are on the way because Miami's on their way, but they're not there. On their way to Disney isn't at Disney, is it?
No, it's not at
Disney.
You're
on your way to you're getting close to Anaheim.
Or Disney World, excuse me, Florida.
Yeah, yeah. We're on the way to Disney. Where y'all get? Y'all in Disney yet? No, we ain't get to Epcot yet. No. But you're on your way.
No, we're on our way. You know, we got like Kenyon Drake driving and like Tannehill's in the back somewhere.
Yeah.
I think Osweiler's
they're
like
on their way to Epcot Center. They are not there yet.
But they're getting close.
They're getting close.
They're getting close. They're just getting watch close. Out when they get there and then Tom Brady's like, all right, time to retire?
Yeah.
Cool.
And then all of a sudden, just like when LeBron left the East, it would be open wide open. Mm-hmm. When old Tom Terrific leaves, then it'll be up for grabs.
It will.
But with that being said, playoffs have it currently stands. I kind of went there. 3:05 Saints versus Rams, 6:30 Pats versus the Chiefs. That would be, 12:05 for us, and then 3:30 for us.
Is that early?
Yeah, it's early. Dang. I know, bro. So those are the games to represent the NFC and the AFC in the Super Bowl. Before we get up out of here, David Bloom, who do you have?
Who do I have?
Yeah, I forgot we didn't do predictions last week. And I'm like, damn, we didn't even pick who we have. Who you got?
Who do I got?
Oh, you about to pour some more hate.
Well.
You got to pour. You start hating, you got to pour.
If you start hating, you got
to
pour.
Oh, you about to start. Who you? Oh, I might be excited about this hating, though.
See, this color, it's red haterade.
Yeah, sweet.
So I got to hate a little bit on the red.
Wait a minute.
Picking the Pats.
Oh, come on, man.
Over the Chiefs. I ain't no Pats fan, but.
You are a fraud. You are a charlatan. I did not see that coming.
And,
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I really did not see that coming.
It's not that much of a hatred, but Rams over Saints.
Rams over Saints. I like. So you got the rematch. You do.
The Rams adjust. They play better. Sean McVay has a stronger running game, and the Saints are no match based on what they did for the Eagles last week. Wow. I know it's in the Superdome, but the Rams take it, and the Pats are the Pats. They have this magic, and the Chiefs, you saw what happened last time. Now, the Chiefs could take it, but I'm saying the Chiefs won't necessarily crumble, but the Pats will out-offense them. Goodness. That's the game, and the Rams will out-defense the Saints. That is also the game.
Well, I'm going with the pick that it should be. It should be the Chiefs and it should be the Saints. That's what it should be.
We are complete opposite. Yeah, this is fun.
I know we are. And it's interesting because either way, I wouldn't be mad if the Rams made it, though. Not at all.
I wouldn't be mad if the Saints made it.
We talk about this all the time. LA, you guys, if you don't live here, LA is a much better place when the teams win.
It is a much.
People were much more pleasant.
When they win, but not win at all. When they win at all, then we go crazy.
Oh, yeah. But when they win, it's just when they're winning.
When they're winning, people are wonderful. Like you could walk into somewhere and like a Chargers and Rams fan will be getting like brunch.
Yeah,
and be
door like, open up for you. They'll take you to pick up a check for you.
Be like, oh, no, it's on the house. Yeah. Go Rams. And you walk in when the Chargers lose to the Pats and if the Rams lose to the Saints, they're like, what do you want? Just take a bagel, extra charge. Why? Yeah, the Chargers just got eliminated. Yeah, the Rams could lose.
And they're upset. So like I said, I wouldn't be mad either way. I'm not, I want to see Tom Terrific at home because he talks a whole lot of subtle nonsense. Everything. Like, he saw him. He talks very subtle.
Subtle
trash.
And
plus, like I said, I'm a casual guy. It's not even nothing against Tom. You know.
Oh, you're a casual guy.
Yeah, I'm a casual guy. I just want to.
See, I'm not here real quick. Just to brandish it a little bit. Next year, playoffs. Get ready for it.
Are you calling that, huh?
Playoffs. I guess you didn't
go too far. You just said playoffs.
Oh, I just said playoffs. They could lose in the wild card, but like playoffs.
You like their new coach?
Yeah, actually, I think, Lord, how do you pronounce his name? LaFleur?
That's a bad start.
Bad start? I am absolutely failing at this, but, you know.
Yeah.
I will see at for the Titans. I like what he's done. I like his resume. I think he can do a lot for the team.
Yeah.
But, you know, McCarthy, thanks for everything. Yeah. Thanks for the ring. It was such an impressive run. He helped develop Aaron Rodgers. See, I'll hold the hater right up for you.
Yeah.
Like no one else. But, you know, I'm excited where this team can go. Mm-hmm. I sound like I'm giving a press conference. and, you know, I just really want to make the playoffs this year. It's been 2 years, and it's very hard on me right now.
You will. And with that being said, we're going to get up out of here, man. We're going to see y'all next Monday, though. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl representatives. That's going to be interesting. Then we're going to make our Super Bowl picks. And hopefully we get a Super Bowl after show. I'm working on it.
Please do.
I hope so. David Bloom, tell the wonderful people they can find you, man.
David H. Bloom, Instagram, Twitter. Maybe I'll throw up another post. Maybe I won't. You'll have to find out. Hey, shout out to everyone hating on me for the Cowboys. Shout out to everyone hating on me in general. It fuels me.
Shout out to all the haters.
See you later.
Yo, Evan T. Mac, Instagram, and Twitter.
Oh, shout out to my girl and my friends.
Oh, yo, what up? Yo, but I didn't even ask you before we roll out, man. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Man, we ain't got to talk about that.
Yeah.
We out, man. Goodbye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.